15. Matthew chapter 15. We began this series of lessons concerning the miracles of Christ, looking at miracles over nature, such as turning water to wine, calming storms, various things. Here in the last several months, we've been looking at the healing miracles of Christ, and we are doing these in chronological order. However, having dealt with the miracles over nature, some of those, of course, we did those in chronological order also. But as we do these healing miracles in chronological order, we end up going back to some events that we've seen earlier. We'd like to read in Matthew 15, verse 21 through verse 28. We have the healing of the daughter of a Syrophoenician woman. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Those were principal cities of Canaan. So he's in Gentile territory. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We see Mark also records this event, and Mark records, which we'll see at a later time, Mark records it from a little different time frame than Matthew. But by way of background, Jesus had just fed well over 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fishes. And he had passed back over into the land of Gennesaret. And it was there in Gennesaret that he healed many. We see in Matthew 14, verse 34, And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, again following the feeding of the 5,000. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. And then we see following this mass healing, the scribes and the Pharisees rose up, and in verse 2 they said, of Matthew 15, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? And then he mentioned, they mentioned the tradition, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, that is, he asked them a question, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? And we see that the Lord discusses this matter with the scribes and Pharisees. In verse 7, he said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand." So now he's speaking to a whole multitude, not just the scribes and Pharisees. "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" So the disciples come to Jesus and basically tell him, you have offended the scribes and the Pharisees. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. They were not the Lord's people, and God, Christ, reminded them they will be rooted up. "Let them alone." And don't worry about them. They're blind, and they're leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding?" That is, you act as if you do not have any more understanding than the scribes and the Pharisees. Talking about eating with unwashed hands. Talking about that which cometh out of a man defileth a man, not that which goeth in. "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought, as the body and discharges it. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Again, this is all by way of background. It is far, far more dangerous not to take care of the heart than it is to eat roadkill, than it is to eat garbage off the road. None of us here would even consider eating trash, or if we just had our hands in a bunch of filth, would consider eating without washing our hands. But Jesus said, that should be your least concern. The thing that ought to concern you more is the condition of your heart. So after teaching this, again, he's pretty much rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees for their traditions. And again, there's nothing wrong with traditions as long as they do not transgress the law of God, and as long as they are not held up as true worship. And the scribes and Pharisees, of course, they're Jesus told them, by your traditions, you transgress the laws of God. And then he begins to address the disciples. And then after all of this was done, we read in verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon." That's really somewhat mysterious. Again, Jesus and his disciples would go northwest about 50 miles into Tyre and Sidon. So a couple days has passed since he had this discussion that we've just referred to. But it's somewhat mysterious that Jesus would go into the coasts of Canaan, into the coastal cities of Tyre and Sidon. Very, very wicked cities. But that's not what's so mysterious. What's mysterious is that Jesus was here to minister to the Jews. But here we see Jesus ministering to a Gentile. And there is no doubt in my mind, there was one reason for Jesus to go into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And that reason was this Syrophoenician woman and her daughter. So perhaps two reasons. She was, we read in Matthew 15 and verse 22, "Behold, a woman of Canaan." And that is something to behold. "Behold, a woman of Canaan." Very wicked city. Mark, notice in his account in Mark chapter 7 and verse 26, the woman was a Greek, that is, she was a Gentile, Syrophoenician by nation, that is, she was a Syrian of Phoenicia. So it tells us about her background. As such, Ephesians chapter 2, when the Lord is addressing the church of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus was a church that was combined of Jews and Gentiles. And that's what Jesus is addressing there, or Paul is addressing in the latter part of Ephesians chapter 2. He's referring to those who were Gentiles, he said, "You were strangers," or "you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." This woman here would have been an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, being a Gentile. We see in Ephesians 2 also that he referred to the Gentiles that they were, past tense, before salvation, strangers from the covenants of promise. That is, the promise to the Jews had nothing to do with the Gentiles. This woman not only was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, not only was she a stranger to the promises of God, she would have been considered to be an enemy of God's people, being a Gentile, being from the land of Canaan. So we see the Lord goes into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and perhaps the disciples are wondering, what in the world are we doing here? And unknown to them, there was this woman of Canaan. And again, I believe that is why they were here. And it was here that Jesus would cast out a demon from this woman's daughter. And the mother of this daughter, the Syrophoenician woman, what an example she is of faith. What an example she is of perseverance. Perhaps one of the best examples in all the Word of God of faith and perseverance. And she's a Gentile during the ministry of Christ. Let's consider the circumstances of this woman. She, of course, was a mother. She had a daughter. As you read Matthew's account and as you read Mark's account, she was a very loving mother. She was a mother who had a very great concern and a very great burden for her daughter. In Mark chapter 7, if we turn over there again, Mark chapter 7 and verse 25, Mark gives us a detail that Matthew does not give. "For a certain woman whose young daughter," Matthew just says, mentions her daughter. But now we're told that she is a young daughter. How young, we do not know. But she was a young daughter. Reading Matthew and Mark's account, it is clear again that this woman of Canaan loved her daughter very, very much, was very devoted to her daughter, very devoted to her daughter's care. And the lesson that there is for us is that she went to great lengths and she endured much. She endured much criticism for the well-being of her daughter. And this is all the result of her faith. She had a problem. She had a great need. She had circumstances that were beyond her ability. Her daughter was sick. Her daughter was very sick. And no doubt this mother tried to help her daughter. No doubt she tried different remedies and different methods to cure her daughter. But there came a point where she came to the realization that what her daughter needed was beyond her ability. And she came to the realization that what her daughter needed was beyond the ability of any individual. And that is a good place to be. When you come to the realization that this is beyond my ability, this is beyond the ability of anyone else, when you get to that point, you only have one place to go, and that is the Lord. And that's what she did. And we see that Mark simply states, again, notice Mark 7:25, her young daughter had an unclean spirit. Her young daughter had an unclean spirit. Matthew, and unclean, of course, in some sense, that, of course, can be descriptive of all demonic forces. But it means also that it caused uncleanness in this daughter. And again, we've already seen what causes uncleanness, and that is the condition of the heart. And so this woman, this girl had an unclean spirit. Now Matthew, in Matthew 15, verse 22, gives us a little more detail concerning the daughter. We see, she said, my daughter is grievously vexed. This gives us a little more detail. She is grievously, that is, her condition is very, very serious. Because of this demon, her condition is very, very severe. It's very dreadful. It's very terrible. It says that she is grievously vexed. That is, this demon was severely disturbing her daughter, severely harassing her daughter, tossing her daughter about, leaving her daughter in an exasperated condition. She is grievously vexed with a devil, with a demon. And again, this woman is at the end of herself. She realizes there is nothing I can do to help my daughter. There is nothing I can do to fix my daughter. Nothing. There is nothing anyone else can do to fix my daughter. Again, that is a good place to be. We see also this woman had a tremendous burden. As her daughter is vexed by an unclean spirit, grievously vexed by an unclean spirit, no doubt her daughter suffered great physical pain. No doubt her daughter suffered mental anguish, and her entire life had been disrupted by this demon. But not only was the girl suffering physical pain, the mother was also, because of her daughter. And the mother was suffering mental anguish as well. And the mother's life had been affected by this demon possession. And this mother, like any good parent, would have felt the pain of her daughter, would have felt the sorrow of her daughter, would have felt a burden seeing her daughter suffer. And we see the burden that she had is illustrated in several places. But in Matthew 15 and verse 22, she cried unto him. She cried unto Jesus. And in Mark chapter 7 and verse 26, she besought him. She pleaded with him. So she wept. She cried. She wept loudly. She sobbed and she begged and she pleaded with the Lord. That is a manifestation of her burden. But more importantly, it is a manifestation of the urgency that she felt. My daughter, her need is urgent. This is something that is urgent, and I do not have the ability, nor does anyone else have the ability, to give her what she needs. Her words, my daughter. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Again, those two words, my daughter, shows the concern that she had. And it showed, and it manifests a great deal of distress that this woman was feeling in her life. My daughter is grievously vexed. But it also, not only is she talking about the daughter's torment, her very words to Christ speak of her own torment and her own helplessness. So that gives us the condition and the circumstances of this woman. She came to Christ. In Mark chapter 7, in verse 25, we read, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him." There she is living in Canaan. There she is living in the land of Gentiles. And she heard of Jesus. She has a problem. She has a need that is beyond her ability, that is beyond the ability of any. And she heard of Jesus. It's always a wonderful thing when people hear of the Lord. It's not only a wonderful thing, it is a miraculous thing. The Lord works events, and the Lord, through His providence, causes people to hear. She may, the first time she had heard of Jesus, perhaps, we don't know, perhaps it was before her daughter became demon-possessed. Perhaps it was she heard of Jesus before she had this problem. Perhaps she heard of it after the problem. We don't know. And it really doesn't matter. But my point is, if she heard of Jesus before her daughter was demon-possessed, she may not have thought much about it when she heard at that time. But she remembered. She remembered. And there's hope there. Because people can hear of Jesus, and they may not have a response. And you may think they're not interested at all, and they may not be. But 10 years down the road, they can have a problem that is beyond their ability. And the Lord has a way of reminding them what they heard 10 years ago. That's why it's never a waste of time to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, they're not interested. They may not be. And the Lord, even though they're not interested at the time, the Lord can bring it back to their memory many, many, many years later. Now, we don't know when this woman heard. But I just like that thought of perhaps she heard long before her daughter became possessed. Eventually, she came to the end of herself and she remembered about that one that she heard. So don't hesitate to set to tell someone about the Lord. You and I have no idea. That's why it irritates me, and it's a great sign of ignorance when people say, well, there's no results. You don't know that. You don't know that. That is a statement of ignorance. You have no idea of the results. Your results may be 20 years later just because you spoke the word of Jesus. So again, don't hesitate to tell someone about the Lord. Let's look to the Lord.